It's Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday especially. I tell you what, folks, we have had an incredible lot of rain this week, but I tell you what, last time I checked, God is in control of it, and those of you who have just had, I know there's a lot of things with tornadoes and so much things that's going on around our state and states around us. We just pray for those folks that are having hardships, that truly that they will look to the Lord in the midst of the struggles that are going on, even at such a time as this. But this week, I want to jump right into our teaching. We got so much information today to get out to you that it's important. And again, it's hard to believe that we are in week number 4 of What's Your Poison, a teaching series dealing on addictions, strongholds that the enemy puts in our path in order to chain us to the bondage of sin and eventual spiritual death that separates us from God. This past week, we discussed drug addiction with our special guest, Robbie Robinson from the Discover Hope in Newton, Iowa. What a great Sunday that was. And if you missed that teaching, you can go to our vitalministries.org website and hear Robbie's story and how he experienced freedom from drug addiction and giving his life back to Jesus Christ and getting his life back on track. But today we're going to hit on addiction that is overtaking men and especially men in the church. It's one of those addictions that we don't talk about in the church much, but it's glamorized by the world. But our prison systems are being flooded with men and women who are held in this sexual bondage. And this morning, again, I've got Pastor Bill Tweed from Family Jubilee Church is with us this morning. Good morning, Pastor Bill.
And good morning, Pastor Mike. Thanks again. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's always a joy to just interact and feel the synergy of when we get into the Word together.
Absolutely. I just love that. And as we wrestle with this tough subject this morning and dealing with this sexual bondage is one of Satan's master plans against men. It doesn't just prevent us from growing into the image of God, but it distorts His very image in us and leaves us ineffective. Countless men in sexual bondage have tried fighting this battle, Pastor Bill. Instead of finding victory, they've ended up being beaten down on their own sexual sin and eventually losing their true identity in Christ. But this morning, Pastor Bill, before we get started, as we look at sexual addiction, I think it's good for us to get a little data on how big this addiction is. And here's the stats that I found exclusive from a data group that shows the following results. And it blew my mind away, Pastor Bill. But it says this, Christian men between the ages of 35, now these are young men, 77% view porn at least once a month. Isn't that amazing stat? 36% view porn daily. 32% report that they are truly addicted to pornography. An amazing stat.
So sad.
It is sad. It is. And especially being in the Christian culture.
Yep.
Yes. These are men confessing knowing Jesus Christ. Now we go to middle-aged men, 31 to 49. 64% of men view porn at least once a month. 18% have reported they're addicted. Now these are men that are married.
Yes, absolutely. That is the age where most are going to catch that marriage with kids.
Yes. Yep. And this addiction. And then we hit the older men. It says that older men, 50 years plus, will view 60 to 70% of men that are older view porn. And this is interesting, Pastor Bill. This blows me away, this next stat. This is with pastors. It says that 50 to 58% of pastors are viewing pornography.
Yes, I've seen statistics similar to that. And it is, it tells us how pervasive this industry has become. It's a multi-billion dollar business.
Yes.
Silicon Valley and the phone industry. You got porn in your pocket anytime you want it today.
Yes, absolutely.
And it is affecting just all segments.
Right, right. And as we look at these statistics, I'm blown away at how such it's a big problem, but it's one of the biggest unaddressed problems in the church.
Absolutely is.
It makes it difficult because I think, Pastor Bill, here's a question. Why is the church afraid of addressing this addiction, and why is it held almost as a secret?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, I believe, Brother Mike, but I know that Jesus said this, that if you look and you lust at a woman, it is a form of adultery in your heart when it's done in your mind. It is a very sensitive, it's a very shameful thing, and it is a very hidden sin in our culture. Revelation talks about the doctrine of Balaam. and how that the sexual sin was the very thing that cursed Israel. If you remember, Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, but Balaam basically said, you can't curse what God has blessed. Right. But I will give you a dirty little secret. If you can get God's people to get involved with fornication with foreign women, which they did, you can get the people that are blessed of God to fall under a curse.
Oh, wow.
And so that is how powerful this thing is, and I believe that the devil doesn't want it known. He doesn't want this out of the bag. There's a lot of things, and it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, know ye not that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right. The devil wants to keep this in place, and I believe it's the most warning against sin in the New Testament. Proverbs 6 says if someone falls into an adulterous affair, that their shame and dishonor will not be wiped away. He wants to mark us and mar us. He wants to curse us. He wants to bring us under a direction that takes us to hell and not inherit the kingdom of God,
right,
and all these things. But it's the most warned against of all things. But yet, I think the devil makes it one of the biggest. Therefore, the devil makes it one of the biggest strongholds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So God's original plan for sex was to reveal his image in the covenant relationship. Now, this is important. Between a husband and a wife.
Absolutely.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, any sexual activity or behavior outside of marriage, whether you're single or married, is sin.
Absolutely.
And that's sometimes a little bit tough. But Pastor Bill, share with us some of the Bible verses this morning that I think that pertain to sexual relations between a husband and a wife. This is important for us to... sex was originally... is a good thing between a man and a woman.
Absolutely. It's the most beautiful thing that God, one of the most beautiful things God created. It is procreation.
Yes.
It is participating in the creation event of bringing sons and daughters of God. God desires godly seed. We get to be involved in producing that. But let me read a scripture out of 1 Corinthians that directly bullseye hits this, how to avoid fornication. It says directly how to do that. We're in 1 Corinthians 7, and it says this, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own man. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, or that would mean any time that they have that desire for that romantic time to allow that and not in any way hinder that. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. And so what that says is our body belongs to our spouse.
Right.
The way that we keep from falling into fornication is having a healthy sexual relationship with our spouse. That is how we avoid fornication. And I believe this, that God wants us to know that it is in Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage or marital sex is to be honored and kept pure.
Right.
And fornication and adulterous activity will be judged of God.
Right.
So I believe that those are the things that when we have a healthy sex life with our spouse and we don't withhold this withholding business.
Yes.
Many times a woman that cannot comprehend the sex drive of a man. Mm-hmm. So for her, it's very hard to comprehend that need.
Right.
And so sometimes, not intentionally, but that would get neglected, which opens the door to right. Satan to tempt him.
Right, right. That's it's so truthful because the next portion of scripture that I want to read this morning comes out of James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says this, it says that temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death.
Absolutely.
So the very things, what it's saying is that the temptation comes from our own sexual desires, from what's inside. What's certain. So yep. A lot of times men will say, well, how come I'm attracted to that? Well, it's from a sinful desire that's deep within their
Absolutely.
Heart.
Absolutely.
And yep. they're actually attracted to it. And another great verse about that too, this morning comes from James chapter 4 verse 1. It says, "What is causing you the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you?"
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read it out of the NLT translation. Says this. And it talks about a warfare that goes on. And it says, we are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ.
Right.
The mind is a battlefield, and the heart, Jesus said, is where fornications proceed from a man's heart.
Right. Let's talk about the mind, the brain. This is the brain typically weighs 3 pounds. It composes only 2% of our body mass,
wow,
but uses 20% of our energy.
Wow.
That's huge. It is composed of over 100 million neurons. There are more connections in the brain than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
Holy cow.
Isn't that amazing? Science has confirmed that the brain is pliable until death itself. Neural,
wow,
connections are constantly being made. So, Pastor Bill, this is an amazing concept about the functioning of our brains. That's why it is essential for us to realize the importance of what we see goes directly to our brain. So here's a question. Why does the enemy use this to his advantage in order for us to sin with our minds and not even play a role in the act itself?
Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Right.
Jesus said out of the heart proceeds these fornications. Well, I believe it's because when you do it in your mind, nobody else is going to know about it.
Right.
You know, in Corinthians, it says, no man knows the spirit of a man except that man, just like no one knows the spirit of God except the spirit of God. So those secret sins, those concealable sins, those sins that we can have control over will occur when we have sin in the mind. But it's interesting because we're told to guard our heart in the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
And I want to read just a quick scripture.
That's an outstanding portion of scripture coming out of Proverbs because it just helps us to realize the functionality of the importance of the brain and the mind. But go
absolutely
ahead.
Look what it says here. It says, my son, attend to my words. And how do we do that? Number one, you incline your ear to my sayings. So the ear gate. And let them not depart from thine eyes. That's the second one, or ears and then eyes. That's another gate.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Because when you put the word of God through your eyes and your ears,
yes,
you're putting it into your heart. But then I find it interesting because that next verse says this, for their life to all those that find them and health to all their flesh, and keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus said that out of the heart comes fornication. Then he says this, put away from you the froward mouth. That's what you hear. Perverse lips, far from thee, and let thine eyes look right on. That's your eyes. So you protect your heart with what comes in your eyes and what comes through your ears.
Right.
Samson saw the harlot and he wanted to marry her. He saw the Philistine woman and he wanted to marry her.
Isn't that the interesting inscription in the books of Judges? Those are the first recorded words that Samson speaks.
Yep. He saw the harlot, and he went in under. He saw the Philistine wife, which he wasn't supposed to marry.
And he tells his mom and dad to go, I want her. Go,
yep,
get her for me.
Yep,
right?
Because of what he saw.
And they tried to reason with him, this, yep, is not God's plan.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And then when Joseph, when Joseph was tempted, Potiphar's wife said 3 times, come and lay with me. So words, what you hear is the other gate,
yes,
that it comes into your heart.
He was,
and if you go to the Proverbs 7, whorish woman,
yeah,
the man never says a word. It says, with her flattering words, she forced him to go to bed with her.
She
did all the talking.
All the seducing.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
So you got to guard those ears and those eyes.
Yes. So we have an internal pharmacy, and the brain produces neurochemicals that has been able to, that creates pleasure, help, which helps us bond with others, and also, too, at the same time, forgets pain. Neurochemicals flood the brain during a sexual release. God designed this to be a good thing. Now, here's something interesting. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps the brain control the pleasure center. It also regulates the emotional responses, enabling us to identify rewards and take action.
Amazing.
In sexual addiction, dopamine surges into the pleasure circuits as drugs do and will cause alteration in the gene expression in certain areas of the brain and creates damage.
Mm.
It's like, Pastor Bill, this is my understanding from when I've talked about this. It's like a plate that's going into a fabrication of, like, if you're in a motor or something,
yeah,
and it stamps it, and that
absolutely,
part becomes the same. It inconsistent unless it's re-stamped or changed again.
Yes.
And they said that's exactly what goes into our mind as we look at pornography or we're looking at sexual desires that should be out that are outside the marriage.
Yep.
And that's what happens. But here's another one. Oxytocin and vasopressin are bonding hormones that promote monogamy in sexual relationships. Women mainly produce oxytocin while men produce vasopressin with small amounts of oxytocin. Oxytocin teaches us to forget by separating pain from pleasure. Outside of God's will, these hormones will impair our judgment. Yes. In the marriage relationship, these hormones bond you with your partner with a sexual release. These same chemicals are released while watching porn or during fantasy that bond you to that image.
That is amazing.
Isn't that something that goes
amazing.
On inside of the brain?
Wow.
So it's important for us to realize, just as again, back to what we're seeing, yep. and the damage that happens to our lives when we view pornography or something that goes on the outside of what's in the relationship between a man and a woman. Pornography
amazing.
Damages the brain. Brain scans reveals clear similarities. This is amazing to me, Pastor Bill. Between a cocaine addict's brain and a porn addict's brain are similar. Repeated viewing of porn damages the pleasure centers and sears the consciousness that the person attracted to the synthetic rather than what is real.
Yes, the wages of sin is death. Death is not just an event, but it's a force that does destroy.
Yes.
And it's amazing the mind, I think that's called neuroplasticity.
Yes.
That our mind is made to be molded to our own intake, whether it's the Word of God to good or evil things to bad.
I think that's why it's so important, Pastor Bill, as we look at this problem of viewing porn. What happens is, especially with men, it's never enough.
That's right.
And it will take you deeper. The brain wants more, and the brain causes sexual bondage. So how do we get out of that? Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 12. And if you'd read that for us this morning, Pastor Bill, I think this is something that's essential for us, especially for the person who is struggling in this addiction, of how they get past this sexual addiction. And scripture for me, whenever I'm struggling with things in my own life, always helps me get back on center and refocused.
Absolutely. It is the foundation. It is the thing that brings all stability. I'm going to read verses 1 through 2.
Okay.
And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A body that's busy serving God is not going to get involved in the wrong things.
Right.
And then it goes on, it says, and here's the important one that we're talking about today, and be not conformed to this world. One translation says, don't be controlled by the fashions of this world, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't just do the will of God because we want to. We can do it when our mind is transformed with the Word.
Yes.
And when that neuroplasticity is brought into its proper alignment with what God says, mm-hmm. that's when we can have a true transformation.
Absolutely. Only through the power of the Word itself and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, hear me. I'm going to say that again.
Absolutely.
I think this is essential, Pastor Bill, for those that are listening. And maybe there's a man out there this morning that's hearing this. How do I overcome? Again, only through the power of the Word of God. That means I got to get in it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And through the power of the Holy Spirit. That means that we come in our weaknesses, come to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need for you to overcome me and help me to I'm going to yield my mind to you and help me to renew it.
That's so good. And you know, I always think of creation.
Yes.
Because if God's speaking the word, with the power of the Holy Spirit added to it, took this world that was without form and void and made the beautiful, gorgeous planet that we live on.
Right.
That man has done some harm to, but in its original form, this is such a beautiful and wonderful thing. And I believe this, that we've got to understand that the Holy Spirit has to be a helper in the Word.
Yes.
Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding, that we'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation open the eyes of our understanding. See, Satan comes and blinds us. It says in 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we've got to realize that there is a darkening that has to be illumined.
Right.
And the Word cannot really be fully understood until the Spirit illuminates the Word.
Right. I think there's another third component that's really, really important. And another thing, I think it helps us in accountability, is getting a mentor to walk alongside with us and not afraid. And you give him that opportunity to ask those tough questions. Have you viewed porn this week?
Yes.
The allowing another Christian
that
man
is what's
to come
needed.
And it's essential. Yep. And so you get three components again: the Word of God, Holy Spirit, and getting a man of God that's a mentor to help you walk through this stronghold, and you can overcome. Because we have multiple testimonies of men who have overcome by applying this very thing that we talked about this morning, Pastor Bill, of overcoming this stronghold of porn addiction in their minds. But see, the enemy has two strongholds for us that he uses. First one he uses is the arousal. He uses the arousal to turn our buttons on sexually. Yeah. He knows you individually. Now, I find this interesting. The enemy knows your genetic background. He knows your family origin and your sexual experiences.
Yes.
And so it goes back to we talk about generational curses.
Yep.
And it passes on. So those generational curses can be broken, but
absolutely,
only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the second one. The enemy uses our wounds. Most people in sexual bondage have wounds that have typically occurred during childhood or adolescence. Mm-hmm. But not every person that has this sexual bondage has major wounds. They can come from too much... Not here. This is amazing to me.
Yeah.
They can come from too much stress, and they medicate the pain. In other words, they find destructive coping mechanisms to make it.
Yes, I see that. And I know that vulnerability comes while we're under stress.
Yes.
Even as our natural immune system, it reflects that in the physical, is also true in the spiritual. Then when we're under much stress, we become more vulnerable with our immune system naturally, but that's true spiritually as well.
You know, if you look in the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find where David's fall came with Bathsheba during down
time. Absolutely, absolutely.
It says in Scripture, he should have went to war with kings.
Yep.
But for some reason, David pulls back.
He stayed back.
He stays back. He has downtime. As my father says, I think this is true, a lot of times with men, downtime generates stinking thinking.
Absolutely.
You know, just to put it just plain.
My grandmother used to say that idleness is the devil's workshop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But see, here's some other key things, I think. Heart bondage, it's a limbic system. Most decisions that we make are unconscious at an unconscious level. When we are under a lot of pressure, the limbic system fires off. People in sexual bondage medicate that pain without even being aware of it.
I believe that.
So they step right back into the pornography, and that's what makes them have to go back in such a deep level of it.
It is a naturally and biologically stimulated drug.
Yes.
That goes into the system that gives them release.
And never enough. Yeah. The other one is family origin. We carry our family of the origin of the brain. Often people who struggle with sexual bondage have a father or a mother, or it can even be another family member or a friend of the family, an aunt or an uncle. I've heard so many stories of people say an outside family member defiled them.
Yep.
And then it became the sexual bondage of the struggles that they deal with.
That they dealt with.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's very common.
Yes. The other one is
desecrative vows.
Desecrative vows. Wow. Read that, Pastor Bill, what that talks
They're
about.
They're vows that result when the enemy takes our imagination captive. We only see the worst in life or what has been done to us. That begins to affect our ability to dream and to see what God wants us to do in the future.
Yes.
Wow, how many people are dealing with that?
Absolutely.
Lost hope. And again, it's a depressive thing, and it's a where you can't see the positive. You can only see the glass half empty. You can't see it half full.
Right. Right. Yeah. It just consumes. But on the side, I think that as we turn our eyes back to the Lord, it says the right God perspective. What you believe about God is the most important thing about you. If you have an angry, judgmental God, you'll be rigid, judgmental, and addicted because you won't understand God's grace.
Amen.
That is huge, Pastor Bill, with people. And I think so oftentimes, you know, and I've heard people even say this, even with the weather that's been, God must be angry with us.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's the case.
I think weather is weather and life is life.
And we give too
much. It's a fallen world.
We give too much credit to the enemy over this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we just got to realize that we serve a God of grace. If he wasn't, why would he send his son?
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
He's looking for a way to save us, not to condemn us. He didn't Absolutely. Go to the cross for nothing.
Absolutely. See, and then we have knowledge versus belief. The enemy wants you to build strongholds of lies in your mind.
Yes.
Jesus wants you to build strongholds of truth. Many Christians are deceived because they equate what they know as to what they believe. The two are not the same. You want to share a little bit about that this morning, Pastor Bill, about how the how it's different between those two items, about what is truth, what you know and what you believe.
You know, the Bible says in John 8:32, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But truth not acted upon is deception, because he that is a hearer of the word and not a doer deceives himself. And so I like this scripture right here. It says, all behavior is not based on knowledge, but on belief.
Yes.
We have to take it from knowledge, knowing what the will of God is, and then acting upon it.
Right.
We cannot just have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up.
Yes.
But when we have knowledge and we believe and act upon it, then it becomes faith, and God honors faith. Faith is what transforms us. Faith is the thing that God spoke the world into existence. We have to believe and confess for our world to be changed and,
yes.
and things brought into existence. It's a pattern that God set forth even in creation. We can create a new mind or a renewed mind by speaking the word. Joshua says, "Let it not depart out of your mouth, and continually meditate upon it."
Yes, yes, which will help the healing process to recognize God's unconditional love for you. The second one is to identify the wounds and ask God for healing.
Yep.
And the third thing is be honest with your mentor, because secrets make you sick.
Yep.
See, there's grip grace. God is gracious and he wants to heal you. When you understand how deep God's love is for you, how powerful that is, and you'll be able to walk in the purity of life itself. Grace is not a point of doctrine, not a point of theology. It is a person
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. It's only at the cross of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, that gives us hope. God's revenge against the enemy is through his grace, through his son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what beats the enemy's strongholds.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, absolutely.
Next week, Pastor Bill, I'm excited because we're going to give you more information as we finish up on this addiction of pornography. But
yep.
what we're going to do is give you helps,
yep.
things that can help you overcome to be a conqueror and not be victorious in what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to help you get a battle plan next week. We're going to look at Ephesians 6 and apply those scriptures of how it helps us
yes.
overcome. But let's pray this morning.
Amen.
Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this time of being able to talk about this tough subject about pornography. I just pray if there's men and women out there, even this morning, as they've listened, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open up their hearts and their minds to be able to receive what has been said. Yes, we gave a lot of information out, but Lord, I just pray that they take this information and that the Holy Spirit can use it and help them to be overcomers. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory for what you did on the cross so that we might have victorious living in you.
Amen.
And I thank you for that, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Well, Pastor Bill, we're out of time again.
It goes so quickly. I can't believe it.
It goes so quickly. One of my things my father always reminds me, he says, when you and Pastor Bill get on the radio, you give us so much information. It's like being on the backside of a fire hydrant.
My goodness. I think God wants to always get us information. There's a lot of good things that we can learn, isn't there?
There is. Well, I hope that this morning that there's something that you've been able to gather and you can use, and it will help you as you go about your day to live a life that is victorious. Again, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.